Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Suraksha Diagnostics Limited Q3 and 9M FY26 earnings conference call hosted by MUFG Intime India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sudeep Anand. Thank you, and over to you.
Good afternoon, ladies.
All right. You can proceed ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. From the management team, we have Dr. Somnath Chatterjee, Chairman and Joint Managing Director, Mrs. Ritu Mittal, Joint Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Ravindra K.S., Group CFO, Mr. Niren Kaul, Chief Sales Officer, and Mr. Balgopal Junjunwala, Regional Business Head. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainty. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website and stock exchanges. Now, I would like to invite Dr. Somnath Chatterjee for his opening remarks.
Good afternoon to everyone. I welcome you to the Q3 and 9M FY26 earnings conference call of Suraksha Diagnostics. Suraksha has always been ahead of the curve in the technology areas. It has been a pioneer in introducing a number of technologies for the first time in Eastern India. Today, genomics is the new black in pathology. Keeping in line with its history, Suraksha has been able to deliver the first complete genomic lab to Eastern India. This includes the complete setup for cytogenetics, microarray, PCR, next-gen sequencing, etc. All our molecular lab tests today are CAP-validated, and this also remains a first in Eastern India. Reproductive, pediatric, neurology, and oncology verticals are being addressed from the lab. Talks are going on with leading infertility chains for carrying out their genomic tests. Dr. Gitashree, ex-director of Tata Cancer Pathology, has joined Suraksha as the head of the Department of Histopathology. She is of international renown, and under her leadership, Suraksha is building one of the very first digital pathology platforms. Dr. Oshima Mukhopadhyay, internationally accredited oncologist and a global authority on ovarian cancer, has joined Suraksha as an honorary consultant. Under her leadership, Suraksha is developing the first HRD assay for ovarian cancer. In radiology, Suraksha has started application of AI for CT scan and MRI reporting with AI engines from United Group. This will greatly enable much quicker reporting and improved data. With genomics, digital pathology, AI application in both radiology and pathology, we expect a brighter future ahead. Now, I would invite our CEO, Mrs. Ritu Mittal, to provide operational updates during Q3. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Chatterjee. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Our primary highlight today is our top-line momentum. For the quarter, we have achieved a 30% year-on-year revenue growth compared to FY25. What makes this 30% figure particularly significant is the quality of the growth. It is driven by two distinct engines: volume expansion, which comes through our new centers, and the product mix, which happens to be there because of the genomic testing vertical that we have added. While we have seen a planned temporary compression in EBITDA margins due to pre-operative costs, our core established centers continue to deliver industry-leading efficiency. Turning to our infrastructure, our project expansion is moving at a good pace. I am pleased to announce that 12 centers are fully commissioned and operational in 9 months, serving their respective micro markets with full clinical capabilities. An additional 6 facilities are currently in the execution phase. Perhaps the most encouraging development this quarter has been the market resonance of Suraksha Sutra, our genomics and molecular vertical. The clinical adoption of this vertical has been resoundingly positive. This pivot is not just a point of pride, it is our primary moat against the priced commoditization seen in the routine testing market. In essence, we are investing for scale, short-term compression for long-term dominance. We believe we are on the right track to deliver solid value to our shareholders over the long term. I once again thank all our stakeholders for the continuous support, positioning us to scale new heights and deliver the best possible care. With that, I will hand over the call to our CFO for a detailed financial review. Thank you.
Thank you, Ritu ma'am. Warm welcome to everyone joining the call today. I will provide a brief on our financial performance for the quarter and 9 months ended 31st December 2025. During Q3 of FY26, the company generated total income of 783.09 million, up by a solid growth of 30.3% year-on-year. The number of patients served in Q3 FY26 increased by 23% year-over-year to 0.36 million, whereas the number of tests performed grew by 30.7% year-over-year to 2.06 million. EBITDA increased by 26.1% year-on-year to reach 237.82 million, while the corresponding margin was at 30.6%. While our aggressive network expansion over the past few months drove top-line growth during the quarter, it also led to an impact on the EBITDA margin due to higher initial operating costs on new centers. In Q3 FY26, PAT reached 72.41 million compared to 59.85 million in Q3 of FY25. PAT margin was 9.3% compared to 10.1% in the year ago period. In 9 months FY26, the total income was 2,313.81 million, which is 21.86% year-on-year. EBITDA grew by 12.8% year-on-year to 734.04 million, with the corresponding EBITDA margin reaching 32.1%. In 9 months FY26, the number of tests performed jumped by 27.2% year-on-year to reach 6.18 million. In the same period, the number of patients served increased by 19.3% year-on-year to reach 1.07 million. The revenue per patient rose to 2,140 compared to 2,084 rupees in 9 months FY25, while the EBITDA per patient fell to 686 rupees compared to 725 in 9 months FY25. In terms of profitability, our 42 mature centers have robust EBITDA margin profile. On the other hand, our 24 new centers, of which 18 centers are less than a year old, impact the overall EBITDA margin. Although they drive top-line growth momentum, during each quarter in 9 months FY26, the average revenue from centers lesser than 2 years old has been rising sharply. As in previous calls, we reiterate that as our new centers mature and economies of scale set in, we expect our margins to revert to higher levels. We will continue to look for opportunity to lower our costs wherever possible to support margin improvement in the future. With that, I would thank everyone for being part of the conference call and request the moderator to open the floor for the questions.
Thank you very much. So we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dhruv Maheshwari from Perpetuity Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just got three quick questions. The first one is from slide 10. The EBITDA margins in the mature centers seem to be coming down. Can you help me with the reason behind this, or is Q3 just a seasonal effect? The margins are lower this quarter.
The Q3 margins are always this. The quarter three is the weakest quarter in healthcare. That is almost a given. It's a seasonal thing, and that's almost a given for any kind of healthcare anywhere.
Got it. Understood. So this should see and is Q3 the weakest among all the quarters for you guys?
Usually it is. Usually it
is. Okay, got it. The second question, it might be early to ask this, but in genomics, what's the current run rate we are at?
So currently what we are running at is around 2.2 million a month we are running. So last quarter, Q3, we kind of reached at around 53 lakhs. In first half, we actually did 63, and that kind of a revenue we could be, you know, able to generate from the market in Q3 itself. And there is a quite upbeat in the market. Our teams are aligned. The feet on street is fully prepared to take the growth to the next level in the coming months.
Got it. The final question is on the next six centers which are scheduled to be opened. Can you help me with the locations or any geographical guidance of where they are within the eastern part of the country?
So one of them is in Jharkhand, and one of them is in a new district in West Bengal where we are not present, and one is in another district where we are already there, but we are adding one center, and three are in Kolkata.
Got it. Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from the line of Nancy Yadav from Algero Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Just wanted to ask a bookkeeping question. Just wanted to get to know the net debt or net cash number.
The net debt as on date is very negligible because the borrowings, you are not borrowed any money as of now. So it is in the books around 1 to 1.5 crore is there as on date gross debt. But net debt will be positive with like around 29 crores.
Okay, so this is our net cash position. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's all.
A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question.
Nobody wants to ask a question.
The next question comes from the line of Tanya Chaudhary from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Akash here. So I just wanted to ask a question. Of late, we have observed that, you know, listed diagnostic players like Dr. Lal and Metropolis are also, you know, introducing genomics. So on a competitive scenario basis, how are we different from them? Or is it that the overall competitive scenario is lesser versus the routine testing? That's it.
As we have repeatedly said, you know, diagnostic industry is regional. I'm sure Dr. Lal, being the largest diagnostic chain in the country, would do very well in north. And I am sure Metropolis, having acquired core to its strength, would do very well in west. But the only genomic, complete genomic lab in the entire east and northeast belongs to Suraksha.
Okay.
There are a couple of reasons why we have an advantage. One is the turnaround time. These being highly specialized tests, so this takes time. The turnaround time for these tests will be lower in our case for samples received from Eastern India. And two, Suraksha has built a technology team, like we said. We have got now some international celebrities amongst us. Dr. Gitasri was the HOD of Kidwai and then the HOD of Tata Cancer. And there are, she is considered to be an authority on oral cancer globally. Oshima is, Dr. Oshima Mukhopadhyay is someone who was in the team which discovered the drug, the magic drug for ovarian cancer, the PARP inhibitor Rifukar. And Suraksha today under her guidance is designing an HRD assay for that test. So we might be smaller than both Lal and Metropolis, but technologically we are at par with anybody in this country today.
Yeah, that was it. You know, I just wanted to understand. So my following question is, do you stick to your revenue guidance of 15% and EBITDA margins of 33% to 34% for this year? Or we could see a bit of a slowdown in the margins because of the new center ramp-up?
See, we definitely delivering better revenue as compared to what we committed. But the EBITDA will take a drag because of the pre-operative expenses of all the new centers that we are adding. So it might end at around 32% sort of figure. But what we have to understand is, as far as Suraksha is concerned, we need the scale today because we have to be of some size, and that is our first priority. And all our costs are very much in line with the industry. So therefore, we don't see why the margin will not expand in the coming future. But this is a conscious call that the company has taken to grow of some size before we start looking at the margins. And margins, we know we don't even have to look at. It'll automatically come because of economies of scale.
So we should be expecting the margins to improve from FY27?
I think FY27, third quarter.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Siddhant from Tux Investment. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. My first question is regarding the EBITDA loss. Ma'am, what will be the EBITDA loss for the 9 months in terms of new centers?
Rutuja, ma'am, you're free. They have to add one management, one more in my call. Can you add him? Wo mere backup mein hai.
Hello?
Yes, just give me a minute. I will tell you the EBITDA loss. Is around 2 crore.
2 crore. Okay. And ma'am, when we talk about expansion, we plan to add 12 to 15 centers every year. This includes the PPP centers or this is without the PPP centers?
Without the PPP centers.
Okay.
And PPP centers, I will once again reiterate that we really don't actively look for, but sometimes we are forced to do. And so we are definitely not looking for PPP projects in the future.
Okay. Ma'am, what is our capex, typical capex for a PPP project?
So normally a PPP is either a CT scan, only a CT scan put inside a medical college or hospital, or an MRI. So in case of CT scan, it would turn out to be around 2.5 crore. Whereas in the case of MRI, it turns out to be around 13-14 crore.
Okay, okay, ma'am. Okay, ma'am, thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Hitendra Pradhan from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, ma'am. Needed a few data points. So for our 9 months, our revenue growth was 22%. So can you give us the split of, what was the volume growth? Because you mentioned that, there was a healthy volume expansion in Q3. So what was the volume versus the price impact or the product mix impact?
So we have not had any price rise. So therefore, the entire growth is volume-led. And a little portion of it is genomic test-led, which is also volume.
Okay. And then what is our mix of radiology versus pathology?
Our radiology is, I think, 40... more or less half, man. 46% is radiology. 48% is pathology. And 6% is doctor. OPD.
6% doctor. Okay. Ma'am, the split between the B2B, B2C and B2G?
B2C
like,
would be around 92 to 93% and B2B would be 6 to 7%. Or
7 to 8%. Sorry, ma'am, can you come again? B2B was how much?
7 to 8%.
Okay, 7 to 8%. It's somewhat reduced, right? It used to be somewhere around 10% or more.
No, B2B used to be 6% actually.
Okay, okay, okay. And then you mentioned that, as we are the priority is to expand now and we're going to add centers. And for that, reason, the margins will be under pressure. But ma'am, what is your, how do you view, in terms of strategy? Are you prioritizing more radiology or, in order to, drive up margins by FY27? So, what is your strategy in the new center?
Basically, we are a comprehensive model and we always expand in a hub and spoke approach. So, every big center is backed by 5 to 6 small centers and that is the approach we will continue with.
Got it. And then you also mentioned about, you don't chase the, PPP centers. Can you just elaborate, what are the pros and cons of, getting into PPP centers and why are you apprehensive?
PPP typically is a very low margin business.
Right.
So,
the volumes might be very high and can be predictable. Only the issue is the receivable side, right? That is the problem that we hear.
There are definitely the price is a problem, receivable is a problem, and we would mindfully deploy our capital in other centers rather than PPP. But sometimes you have to do it and that's when we do it.
Got it. And then on the margin, overall margin side, are you guys seeing any raw material pressure from the raw material side? Are there any inflation happening and is that a headwind, for the...
See, there will be... the genomic tests are typically more... expensive as far as the COGS or the cost of goods is concerned. So, but then because our volumes are not so big, over the overall, we don't see much of a margin difference there.
But for the other business line, because currently, you know, our standard normal businesses are like, you know, driving the revenue. So on that side, we are not seeing any cost pressure in the...
Can you please repeat?
For the, you know, excluding genomics, are we seeing any cost pressure on the radiology and pathology, the standard business?
So, correct. So there are, this is two, there are two aspects to it. First aspect is the pathology part and the second part is the non-pathology. For pathology, we have long-term contracts wherein the global headwinds do not matter much because we, our prices of the products are kept for longer period of time, right? So we kind of do that. But recently what we saw with the non-pathology inventory, which mostly is films, so they have a, they were chasing a price impact because of the rise in the silver prices. But eventually last week you saw there was a, you know, major recorrection in the silver prices. So we expect the prices to remain stable for the period of time.
Okay, there is some volatility that is happening on the non-pathology side because of the silver.
So it kind of has stabilized after the silver correction happened. So there is nothing that we see in the immediate future, but we all are, you know, will be affected by policies coming from the West.
Got it, sir. Got it. Got it. And sir, on the GLP side, are we anticipating any kind of volume growth? I mean, we hear a lot about, you know, the incremental upside to the, you know, the volumes, you know, testing and all, when the semaglutide and the, all the GLPs come in. So are you guys, what are your views on that? I mean, are you anticipating any kind of volume upside to our business?
So it is very difficult for us to understand because what we will get is a prescription. Now I am sure the prescriptions might have increased because people, you know, is quite popular in India now and the other drugs are also Wegovy and everybody is getting in. So for us, it is difficult to measure the exact reflection. But in the medical community, we understand that there is an increase in such.
However, you will see there is a lot of licenses. The patents are going out of the patent period. Right. So what will happen is there will be the price reduction everywhere and there will be multiple new participants in the market, which will overall grow this market in next financial year. So by end of March, we are, there are new entrants who are supposed to come in this field. And of course, everybody will kind of promote these products and the whole market is ready to evolve.
But as of now, it is difficult to kind of gauge what can be, you know, what could happen to
the initial movement. Initial movements are there, but they are not as big to be of any notable this thing currently.
Understood, sir. Understood. Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Abhijit from PI Asset. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Hope I'm audible. My first question is, what is the steady state revenue contribution you are targeting from genomics by, say, FY28?
From?
Genomics by FY28. Yeah, what is the steady state revenue contribution you are expecting from genomics by FY28?
Genomics in 2028.
So 2028, what, you know, we have just started genomics. So we are at a very nascent stage. Of course, we see this business going in multiples rather than a gradual growth. So 28, we should be at a very good level and we'll try entering to the, apart from the reproductive health and this segment that we are having, inherited disease detection. So we are going to enter into cancer as well as other lines of genetic wherein.
And this line is so evolving that very soon preventive genomics will come in a major way. It is difficult to put a number to it, but the way it seems that it is going to be one of the major needle movers in the diagnostic industry. And that is why Shuroka has been at the front, both with technology, with technically evolved team members. We have 5 PhDs working in our labs. So we put a lot of emphasis on it, and we think this is going to be a game changer. But
understood.
Like you say, it's difficult to put a number to it.
Got it. And now that Cetamac has been a part of the group for nearly 1 year, so have you started seeing revenue synergy?
So FetorMed is an extension of fetal medicine, which gynecologists mostly were driving earlier, and now there are fetal medicine experts that are doing, you know, invasive procedures and getting into genomics. So certainly it has given a foothold in genomics for to Suraksha after the acquisition. It has leveraged us to, you know, start in-house testing with the few initial starts through FetorMed acquisition. And plus, going forward, all our, you know, market connects and market, you know, doctor engagements have started showing early signs of getting our more business to FetorMed as well.
Got it. And lastly, regarding the expansion into the adjacent geographies like Bihar and Northeast, so how is the unit economics in these new territories compared with the home ground in Kolkata and North Service Pargana?
So next financial year, of course, we have... So currently what we shared was the next 3 months rollout plan, okay? So next financial year, we have an extensive plan of entering into new geography, new states, and of course, Northeast is part of it.
Yeah, so how is the you know, pricing power and the customer acquisition cost in these new geographies as expected as compared with the Kolkata and nearby region?
So of course Kolkata is a metro which certainly has a you know, advantage in spending power. So Northeast, in wherever we are, you know, getting into places are decently decent markets where we will be able to get the same traction equivalent to Kolkata types. Of course, we'll have to start with some initial, you know, market attraction discounts and all, but gradually we'll get to the almost Kolkata levels from Northeast. And in fact,
we are confident that the revenue, so revenue per per patient that we are generating from Kolkata, we are confident that we can generate from the these new regions in Bihar and the Northeast as well.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Keshav from Yashvi Securities. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yeah. Yes, sir, you are.
Thank you for taking my question. So I had a couple of questions. So firstly, like I had a follow-up to the previous participant question. So how are you planning, say if you're entering into a new geography, so how are you planning to penetrate the market there and like what is the plan of action to enter into that market?
So we first of all, you know, kind of do our initial dipstick of the market. In that dipstick, we engage with key opinion leaders over there and understand how the market is going to move, is currently moving over there, right? And basis this market, whether it needs initial discount, whether it needs more engagement, whether it needs visibility to be built up in the territory, everything we do as per the plan. In fact, our launches in the last 2-3 quarters, new center launches have been, you know, media events kind of. So everything is on the table. We do social media, this thing as well. So whichever thing, we actually fully, we have a complete rollout plan for a new center. Okay. So it encompasses all the things that need to be done. So first thing that we are mindful of is to not to erode the value from the market by deep discounting. Okay, so we understand the market first, prevailing market, and then only act according to that market. When we go to districts in West Bengal, there is a price sensitivity. When we go to markets in other state capitals, they have decent amount of play to be played.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir. So one more question, sir. So are we planning to take any price hikes in the coming future? And a follow-up question to, so like, are we planning to take any price hikes?
Can you please repeat the question? Sorry.
So are we planning to take any price hikes in our existing centers?
We can't follow, any other. Are we planning to take any?
Price hike. You know, it is as far as price hike is concerned, we do not expect to see a general price hike, but in segments we might do that. Overall, we will not take a price incremental price hike, but there would be segments, there would be few tests, new tests that we launch or something, existing tests, you know, incremental some positioning, but throughout there would, we would not do it in the foreseeable future.
Keep the patient tied by doing that.
Pardon me?
So would we see any material impact on the revenue per patient if we take that price hike on the particular segment?
So, patients are, look, what price is one thing for the existing product, but if we introduce high priced new test, okay, so that will also kind of serve the purpose to build the volumes, the revenue volume.
Okay. But this is just a last question from my side, sir. Sir, right, I just wanted to understand, sir, how has the diagnostic center transformed in the Eastern India, like from previous years, and what can we expect in the future from the sector? So if you could just give a brief about that, about the sector.
So in general sector, the diagnostic centers in the East are mostly mom and pop stores. So only serious player in East is Suraksha, which are really an organized player and, you know, trying to transform the market. So in that regard, what we will do will actually be reflected in the market in a large scale.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. That is it from my side.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Prateek Shah from Investing Alpha. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, so my first question is on the genomics segment. So, sir, can you share the annual revenue run rate that you expect to see in FY27?
So, annual run rate we expect to see is around 4 plus CR for next financial year.
Okay. And another question is on the expansion. So are we looking at any new geographies or states in India for expansion?
So yes, we just mentioned a while back that current year plan our CEO has already shared. Next year we are well poised, our engagements have been done. We are well poised to enter Northeast states, couple of Northeast states. One is definitely incrementally Bihar and Jharkhand even.
Okay, sir. That's really nice. And so my one last question is, can you provide a breakdown, like in numbers, in terms of the type or category of centers, like, you know, large versus small, which you typically open with an annual capex of about 70 crores? So in FY27, yeah, please continue, ma'am.
So we typically open five hub centers, which are the big centers, and 10 small centers.
Okay. And just to follow up on that, so in FY27, do you expect any increase in the CapEx or the number of centers opening?
Any increase?
Yeah, any plans of CapEx, I mean?
We would again target 12-15 centers with a similar CapEx of 70.
Got it, sir. Got it. Got it. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Isha Murthy from MAS Cap Invest. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So my question to you is, could you please provide a breakdown of how much of the top-line growth in Q3 was driven by center additions and how much was by other factors, if any?
Top-line growth was from accretive. What was the word again, please?
So just wanted to know that how much of the top-line growth in Q3 was driven by center additions and other than that, yeah.
So new center revenue. New center revenue. So it was around 6 crore from the new centers for Q3.
Okay. Okay, sir. Got your point. And also, competitors reported EBITDA margins improvement. So are you looking at taking any specific measures towards margin improvement?
The revenue growth will kind of take care of the margin improvement as well because all our costs are marked to market. And of course, there are some small opportunities. We'll definitely like to work on them. And mostly, the economies of scale should kind of handle the margin issue.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Sania Taparia from SAS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes. Yes, you are audible.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I had a question regarding that from the centers which were under development at the end of quarter three FY26, how many are you expecting to add in Q4 FY26?
We are currently working on six centers for Q4 26. Out of that, there are three big centers and one PPP and two small centers.
Okay. Okay.
For Q4. So I believe 60%-70% of this will definitely be operational, and one or two might spill onto the first month of the next financial year.
Okay. Got it. Understood. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Siddhant from Tusk Investment. Please go ahead. Mr. Siddhant, please proceed with your question.
Yes. When are we targeting 100 centers? By which financial year?
FY28.
FY28. Okay. Okay, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Dr. Somnath Chatterjee for closing remarks.
I'd like to thank all of you who've been patient enough to go through this session. We expect to do wonderfully well in the coming segments, and thank you. Thank you all.
On behalf of Suraksha Diagnostic Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.